Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live at Lexington, Kentucky for episode number 304. And it's going to be a good one tonight. And joining me in the co-hosting seats from not too far away, the lovely, the wonderful, the vivacious Holly Phillippe, and from parts unknown in Tennessee, Daniel Dark. Welcome, my friends. The show begins.
Hello, hello.
And so it happens once again that we find ourselves.
Yes. It's blown
back
by
on the
last
line.
Week. Well, last week is blown by, but I did have fun. I must say that a couple of days I did have fun because I had my yearly Holly Fest, or Holly Days as I call them, Sunday being Holly's birthday in our sixth anniversary, and then, of course, Monday being Valentine's Day. And Sunday, I took Holly, of course, to our traditional every year since we go to the same site and table of our very first in-person date, and that's at Joseph Beth Bronte Bistro in the Joseph Beth Booksellers, huge independent bookseller place in Lexington, Kentucky. And we had a great time there, and surprised she's going to have her dream of going to see the Van Gogh exhibition. I got her that. It's their main present, a little getaway in the summer. It includes a trip to the Van Gogh exhibition, which can be a lot of fun. And then Sunday or Monday, Holly really surprised me. She took me out to a place that had a giant bourbon bar and New York pizza in the same place. It was in the distillery district of Lexington, and in an old distillery building, just beautiful, just sight, you know, 40, 50 foot high ceilings. I don't know how tall exactly, but I mean, just giant.
Well, it's
giant
an old distillery.
Place. Yeah, it's an old distillery. Mm-hmm. And we had New York style pizza, some Goodfellas, and then there was a bourbon bar in the same area. And so, yeah, I got to have Eagle Rare along with some New York style pizza. You can't get more perfect than that. So that was
awesome.
And
I bought you a bottle of bourbon too.
Yes, you did. A bottle of Buffalo Trace, which I am definitely going to have as my traditional glass tonight, because tonight's guest is definitely a reason to enjoy some good Kentucky bourbon. So we're going to have a lot of fun with tonight's guest, to say the least. But, yeah, it was fun. Holly and I had a great time, two fun days, and really got to go out more than in 2 days than we have in the last month, I think. Because we've been laying low to stay healthy and try not to get sick again after our tumultuous health in the holidays. So, yeah, this was kind of like a big splurge on both days, and a lot of fun. I mean, it was nice to get out there again and not be so antisocial and not be a hermit for 2 days.
Well, I hope y'all are having better luck with the Van Gogh than what Nashville is.
I heard Nashville, yeah. They closed it down.
They were supposed to be open before they ever got the building permits to build out the thing that they were opening in it.
Right, yeah. Right. I've seen that. And that was the only place they've had problems. I'm like, geez, oh, Pete. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that sucks.
I know.
They're not coming to Cincy until June, and that's when we're going to go. And so hopefully, you know, summer will be a nice, conducive atmosphere for this. And I got Holly the VIP package, so it includes the VR goggles,
yes,
and that part of it.
Great.
And then you get a collectible poster, which I'm sure, since each of us get one, I'm sure I'll get a different one, and Holly can frame them. But it'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It will be cool. So I'm looking forward to that. And because that's supposed to be amazing.
And we're going
to
go see the jellyfish the next day. My favorite creature is the jellyfish.
Yeah, the rest
of
Holly's adventure.
Well,
since you mentioned it, Holly, the rest of your adventure is that evening after they go on to the Van Gogh exhibition, we're going to take you to the Hofbrauhaus, which is one-third the size. It's exactly looks like it, but it's like a one-third replica of the Hofbrauhaus in Munich, Germany, and it's awesome. I mean, it is – yeah, you get the benches and the polka, and you get, of course, the sausages and beer
signs.
Hey,
I'll do some polka. I don't care.
Great. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And then the next day, we're going to take Holly on our jellyfish quest to the Newport Aquarium on the levee down there in Newport, Kentucky, and right across the river from Cincinnati, and go see, all the cool stuff there. Yeah, it's a great aquarium.
Jellyfish.
Well, yep, jellyfish, too. So hopefully, that'd be good inspirational visit for, us creative people. It'd be awesome. Immerse ourselves in, among jellyfish and sea rays.
And then my first reaction, I looked at the dates and I'm like, you do realize this is 2 weeks for Imaginarium. You do realize I'm stuck in front of a computer for at least 14 hours a day a month
All
before Imaginarium. And he's
All
like, well, those 2 days you're not going to be.
Yeah, all the better. Yeah, give her a breath of air before, before the last 2 week gauntlet run. So that'll be good. It'll be needed, and you will be glad. You will be glad it's happening. So
I won't want to murder nobody then.
It's gonna be fun.
This week and everything, I had three different packages come in the same day, and there were three different books.
Very cool.
I was talking to Steven Schulster on Zoom last week, and he said, I'll send you a copy of my book. I'm like, okay, big executive businessman and everything. I'm sure he's got more important things to do than send me a copy of his book. Sure enough, I've got a copy of It's a Jungle in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who Steven Schulster is, he is a creator of The Rainforest Cafe, T-Rex, Yak and Yeti, and the boathouse at Walt Disney World.
Yep.
Cool.
It's awesome. Well, you'll have to reciprocate instead of a copy of your book now.
And a cigar. Throw a cigar in there.
Yeah, a cigar. Yeah, throw a cigar in there. Yeah.
And then I got, a book from another friend that is diving for pearls in search of deeper wisdom. And it's written by a friend of his that died this last year. And he sent me a really great note and everything in it. And, because I've been sharing some of my stuff on, my Zoom calls. And he wanted to do that to, reciprocate to me and, think that I would enjoy it. And it's just different little things. And one of the things that was funny is right where he stuck the note in the book, where it separated the book, like a knife, reason has great and varied utility for good or evil and shades between. That's
nice.
The quote that comes up right there.
Very cool.
It was just one of those type things where I was just like, how much better could a quote be in a book than, my first book was Knife's Tale?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's too
good. And I'm looking down the little quotes, and the second one that I see is, like a knife. And I'm like,
yep.
Man, that's a thing,
it's a sign.
It went in the book. Because I'm sure he just opened up the book to, someplace sort of in the middle and just stuck it in there. And then, the third one that I got was the words we use, your guide to how and why words matter.
Mm-hmm.
By Terry Short. And
very cool.
I haven't gotten into it yet, or anything, but, you know, she teaches people how to write, period, and also how to write inspirational books and, you know, things that your story has something, you know, that people can benefit from, your personal story.
Nice.
And how to bring that out to where.
Cool.
But
that's,
yeah, I
awesome,
got all
man.
Three of those in one day.
Dang.
And I was,
wow.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have
yeah.
to go get anything
so
to read.
You've
you know.
Been doing some reading and catching up on stuff.
Yes, you have.
But, you know, I've got, you know, got a new novel to read. I've got, you know, a business book to read. I've got, you know, book of wisdoms to, you know, read. And now I've got a writing book to read, too. So
there you go.
Got it all. Nice.
And then, I've got to, you know, convert all that into writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Which I've been doing, you know, some collections and stuff of writing that I've, you know, haven't shared all of them with somebody yet, and they're probably mad at me because of that.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yep. Uh-huh.
Very nice. Well, on that note, you're about to get something else new, Daniel. You're going to get a new Sandy Lender spot. Because we're going to do our sponsors here and make sure we get those in before our guest calls. And Sandy has a brand new ad, which you should definitely pay attention to. It's cool what she is up to right now. And then our second sponsor for tonight is the great Ren Garcia. Yeah, we will leave that for second so you can answer the famous question after Ren's spot. But for right now, give your attention to Sandy Lender, the genre bender, for a brand new ad spot here.
Do you want to continue creative conversations every day? Author Sandy Lender invites you to join her community on the alternative social platform, Locals. Join Sandy Says Read at locals.com and support a creative community. And just like a drug dealer, she's offering the first month for free with promo code READ. Get access to fun, creative content, book news and reviews, and share opinions that don't randomly get canceled. Use code READ to join Sandy Says Read on Locals today.
Thank you so much, Sandy. And yes, that is awesome. I'm wishing you great success with your new spot there, Locals. Hope it goes really well. That's something that I'm curious about. Yeah, I'm going to have to investigate it some more. I heard about you doing that.
Local people.
It's
Locals?
Cool. It's a social media platform that kind of has built-in monetization for the people that follow different people, and it's really interesting how I can't speak on it as in terms of being an expert in it, but yeah, it definitely has it's catering to creatives with writing blogs and video and everything else, and it has a subscription kind of format with it that's really, you know, you can have it geared low cost. It's kind of like almost like I would say almost like a Patreon, but on steroids. I mean, it's got a lot more of a community aspect to it than like just the straight up Patreon. So it seems pretty cool, but I will report back more because I am about to just investigate it.
Is it sort of a replacement for that one that we were talking about a year ago that went away all of a sudden?
Yeah, I guess, you know, well, there's a lot of platforms cropping up now and a lot of them. But I think it's an alternative, but with a lot more features. So I'm going to definitely check it out and see what that's all about. So I will report back to you, Daniel. I promise I'll investigate. But second spot of the night is the great Ren Garcia with the famous question at the end. And here we go.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Holly?
Yes, Ren. We are weird enough, honey.
I'm weird enough, and then Daniel's normal enough. I love answering that question. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ren.
I'm just barely normal enough for Ren.
Check out his League of Elders series. It is very extensive. He actually has one of them broken up. It's kind of like a real cool audio book with graphics and sound effects and stuff on his channel on YouTube. Really killer series. He works with a great artist. The covers are beautiful. Check it out, League of Elders series. And then, of course, check out Sandy Lender's new Locals spot on that new platform. So check it out. And I'm going to go right into our guest because he is waiting. And we're bringing the thunder tonight, bringing the thunder all the way from Illinois. And, of course, this is the author behind the iconic characters like Garius LaGaul. Some have said that he is definitely an offspring of Robert E. Howard himself. He is an award-winning author and has co-written books with such luminaries as Brian King, the King of the Bastard series, and you know who I'm talking about, and we're here on his release day for Killer of Giants. So bringing in the one and only Stephen L. Shrewsbury. Your mic is on. Welcome, sir.
Well, hello there, everybody.
There he is.
I told you I'd be moderately sober, so...
I got Buffalo Trace tonight for you, thanks to Holly.
Does that mean you're moderately drunk, too?
Possibly, yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, it's freaking 8 o'clock here, and, I got off work at 2:30, so it's been a while.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time.
Well, yeah, you got the...
Sure did.
Yeah, you have the early schedule, I knew that.
I took a nap and a bath for you guys, so hey, you know.
Wow. Well, I'm honored. Fantastic.
But I get covered in oil at work, but it's not as exciting as it sounds. You know, it ain't like baby oil. It's like motor oil. But anyway.
that can be nice, too. You know, everybody has their own likes,
There's a gal at Walmart who does the greeting card, and every time I go through, she goes, "Oh, you smell like my dad," and she hugs me, and I'm like, "Great, thanks." So... take what you can get, I guess. you never quite know. Back in the early 90s or late 80s, wearing the original polo was shit. You know, that was like great stuff. So I've never changed over the years. And I've had people tell me, "Oh, you always smell great." Now all of a sudden they say, "Oh, you smell like my father because of that perfume." And I'm like, "Wow, great." My son, who's 17, who also wears it, says, "Dad, I get all the girls with the daddy issues." So, this is the smart-ass mini-me that I have at my house.
Oh, man, that's good.
Anyways.
Well, how are you doing?
That's life.
It's been a while since I got to talk to you live.
Pardon me? Yeah. It's been a little bit, but I'm still kicking. Getting ready for another big storm here tomorrow,
they're saying that here. My trash can literally took a walk out into the middle of our cul-de-sac earlier. It didn't tip over. I look out and it's literally just sitting up right smack in the middle of our cul-de-sac, and I'm like, "Well, Steve, I gotta go outside."
I pushed the whole thing out there.
Shockingly enough, I live 5 or 7 miles from like humanity out here in the middle of nowhere, and so we're getting some ice in the middle of the night, and then about 5 to 7 inches, and that's not the nice way of getting 5 and 7 inches from what I hear, but that's what we're gonna get. So. Anyway,
that's average.
Hey,
you guys,
you guys asked me to come on. So. Anyway,
yeah, absolutely. Well, we expect it. That's what makes it the best. What's that?
How is Daniel doing? I missed seeing you last summer.
I'll trade with you because we're supposed to have tornadoes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
We 10 years before I was born, the house was hit by a tornado in the 50s. So I figured, like lightning striking, I figure I'm good for a little while. So. we'll see if that holds through the rest of my life. So.
I've been through more than I care to.
That's never fun. I mean, they've come close before, and people say, "Oh, how can you stay?" I was like, "Eh, beats a hurricane, I suppose."
That's true. It can always be worse.
Oh, yeah.
It could be earthquake, too, you know. Say it.
Although in the late 80s, I know when the
three tornadoes go through our yard at the same time. And 17 trees in our yard alone.
Yeah,
I know
that's
when
crazy.
In the late 80s, the New Madrid Fault shifted in Missouri, and I know, like, my mom's stuff on her shelf, you know, like, we heard it jingle. We felt like a little tremor, and I'm like, that's as close as I want to feel a freaking earthquake. So,
Oh, yeah. They're
that's
scary,
not
man.
Fun. I've experienced that.
The ground just
that,
opens up, swallows you, you know. It's like,
I was
scary.
The ground you trust is suddenly unstable beneath you, and it's
gone.
A weird feeling.
Yeah.
We were eating.
And it don't matter. You can't go anywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter if you go underground or, you know, up 10 stories. It don't matter where you're at. You know, if it's going to swallow you, it's going to swallow you. So you can't even get protection.
in the infamous comic book adventure in World Horror in 2006 in San Francisco, I was in a pizza place in the morning drinking beer at 10 a.m. I know, talking with Maurice and James Moore and Brian Keene, a bunch of guys, name dropper here. And all of a sudden, the place shook. And we were the only ones who seemed to notice it.
Oh.
You know, the waitress, everybody's like, yeah, big deal. We're like, you guys.
Yeah.
It was creepy. Everything trembled, and we're like, oh, crap.
That would be a cool group to experience that with.
Oh, it was a bunch. It was.
Oh God.
We walked down to a comic store early in the morning, but everybody was. It was a good trip. I mean, it was quite a bunch going through. But anyway,
kidding. That sounds.
I mean, like
sounds
a
like
lot
fun.
Of stories about that trip, but anyhow.
We like stories.
Quite a good time, you know.
We want all the good stuff out. On Sizemore, especially. So I can harass him here in Lexington.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I could. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some Sizemore stories, but anyway.
Yeah, think of Sizemore. What did you say, Daniel?
I think we're when it comes to earthquakes, we're about 70 years past due for the fault.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Daniel?
That's true.
I'm in Tennessee.
Okay.
They said that about the Ohio Valley, too. They always told us, as kids, we would do earthquake drills. And it's like, for what purpose? I look back now and I'm thinking, wow, they really dropped the ball on that one. Because they kept telling us, you know, it's imminent. You know, we're going to have this big earthquake along this fault line. And, well, we've had tremors, but, you know, I outlive it. I hope it comes in another 200 years or so after I'm gone.
Yeah, I don't want to feel another quake.
You plan on being gone in 200 years?
Well, from here, I won't be in this area in 200 years. I hope to make it back to London, you know. I'm going back.
Well,
you sound like
Bryce
such a London suburbanite.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But look at the bright side. At least none of us are at risk for tsunamis, Holly. At least none of us are at too much risk of tsunamis. So there is a positive there.
Oh, that
there.
Would suck, too. So
living where
oh,
we do.
Oh, yeah. Water?
Yeah. Yeah, those are
that would suck.
Being in Oregon at the seaside, looking at that water just go on forever at the ocean, I'm like, fuck that. That was fuck no.
I'll tell you something else that would suck. If you have a big mastodon coming at you, you know, Shrews knows about these things.
Well, oddly enough, I changed it from being a mastodon to a mammoth because being from North America, I'm more into mastodons. We're more indigenous to where the book was taking place, so I had to switch it.
Yes, that's true.
The inclusion of Aileen the mammoth in Killer of Giants is kind of an interesting thing because she didn't have as big a part to start with, and it's bizarre how when you start writing something, it just kind of generates more. And a young lady who's a big fan and a reader named Adrienne Reinhardt sent me this picture, and I posted it on Twitter, and it was a white mammoth. And in my mind, Aileen was, your dark, you know, regular elephant. I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool if it was pure white? Because it came from, you know, far north, so I thought it kind of just generated from then on. And then she took on a little more of a personality as it went on, and And she made a good contribution in the book because, you know, I don't know. I'd never considered in a million years putting a mammoth in that book, and all of a sudden it just kind of appeared. So
funny how that works.
Yes. It's weird how that happens. Without giving too many spoilers,
you have a steamy scene with two characters, and the mammoth appears in that scene. I will say not a participant in what they're doing, but appears in the scene.
Yeah, it's bizarre how, like I said, it's bizarre how things happen. I mean, I didn't plan on that, but you got to remember, he is who he is, and he's kind of a, I don't hate to use the barbarian word, but he's a pretty savage guy, and he did what he did, and the mammoth was there taking a bath or hanging out, and I was like, well, going to be there.
Yeah, so. It was awesome. Holly remembers when I was editing it, and I about fell off my chair first, and I was like, Shrews is the first person to put a mammoth in a steamy scene.
Steamy scene, yeah.
In fantasy.
Well, it was there's things with it that you got away with that you couldn't get away with a horse. Like, I did my research on how far they could travel, how fast they could go, and how big, you know, how much they'd eat. Just, you know, basic things. I wasn't trying to get all, you know, RPG, otherworldly shit about it. I just was, like, wanting to make it a little more credible. And when I was writing in the first place, and, you know, the army is after him, and they're having to bivouac and stop every so often, and I thought, he's never going to outrun them. And then I got the thought of him turning that thing around and ride it into him. And I thought, what damn thing? You just stomp right over him, and the images, the blood jetting up its white legs, all that. So, you know, it's right about something. So, and I'm not giving away any spoilers towards the end, but someone asked me if that it would ever return in another book, if Aileen ever comes back. So I did a quick look on how long they could live, and I thought, yeah, I could work her in something when he's old, maybe. Maybe they'll meet up again someday. So. I have a real
very
hilarious
nice.
Scene. I have a hilarious scene in a future book that I have not written yet about how everybody thinks everybody's dead. And this young guy traveling with Roken sees this girl, and he's like, God, I thought I lost you. I thought I lost you. And then Roken sees Aileen, and he's like, I thought I lost you. You know, because he's... Cause he didn't give a shit about anybody else but the mammoth. So, well, you know.
Yeah.
Not,
oh man, it's
this
a good,
is a me
great
and my
character.
Mammoth story by any means.
Yes, well, it's got obviously from the cover art, it's got an iconic scene that takes place rather early in the book, and you get a good little hint in the cover art as to what's happening, because your setting is awesome. I mean, you know me, I love Nephilim lore, and those guys exist in your world and back in that setting, so that makes it, that ratchets it up.
It was always something I was interested in, the Nephilim and whatnot from, you know, biblical stuff and from stories in Samaria. And I call it Shinar there because in biblical times it was kind of named that. So I'm kind of mixing and matching my lore here and there, which is what's fun because it's my universe and I can do what I want. So
that's right.
But yeah, I was always wanting to make them, you know, pretty rough to kill, and they would be, you know, just literal giant, no matter how big.
And your world in this book also has the sires of the Nephilim in flesh running around.
Yep.
So that which I love. That really. There's some good stuff there.
Yeah, there were some real characters that come up there, and the twins were kind of in my mind modeled oddly enough on the wrestler Batista in my brain.
Yes.
The twins kind of were. In fact, that was what they were named to start with. And, you know, you sometimes create names of people you know or people you're modeling stuff after, and then you change it later. I mean, that's not a big trade secret, I don't think. I think I'm not the only one who could do that. Because there's people at work I've killed before, and, you know, you change their name, you know. So, somebody asked me, he goes, oh, have you ever killed anybody that works at Caterpillar yet? And I go, I'm fixing to. People ask you dumb questions. But, it's just like sometimes they face volunteers, too. I mean, the person steps out is a person or persona that you didn't really expect it. It isn't you're obsessed with that person. Like, there's a former boss of mine I kill in every book. Every damn book he hits the deck. And if you knew him, you'd kill him, too. And I could point to him in every novel I've written, and you go, damn, that guy dies bad. I mean, everything bad. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, we're going to have a bottle of bourbon, and I want to learn about all the different parts that he's in all your books.
Well, I'm telling you, he's the admiral in Overkill. He's one of the guys in the West in Last Man Screaming that, you know, Joel shoves into the chasm. He's got a little part.
Nice.
He's one of the captains, and he is one of the guys in Killer of Giants too. So.
Nice. Okay.
It isn't like an obsession, but every once in a while I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to kill him. You know? So
that's awesome.
Or the woman Elisa in Killer of Giants is based on a Amazonian tall redhead gal I know that basically volunteered in my brain as well.
Nice.
I can relate. I'm a big Amazonian with reddish hair. That's my people.
Well, I understand. It's also not true that not all my characters are 6'4" barbarian guys that are bearded that like redhead girls. That's not true. It's just, you know, it's just a coincidence in a lot of my books. It's true. Somebody's going to go, damn, he is right about that. But, that's just me. So.
Yeah, and we should mention, that hero is Rogan in this book. And
yes.
What a character, man. Awesome character.
Yeah, because he's a little different than Garayus and stuff, and I decided to write I don't know if that's the obvious question for the thing. When Brian Keene and I were writing about him in different books, he was an older character. He was obviously in his 60s or 70s, and it was kind of fun to write about somebody who isn't young and virile or endurance or anything, but he would be cold, he's jaded, and he's just downright nasty about things because he's an old guy and he's kind of seen everything, done everything. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to explore how he got to be that jaded, because you see him here and he's a little more willing to trust. He's not as intelligent of a fighter as he was. He's very strong, he's tough and mean because that's just his nature by then even. But it was fun to explore some of his humor and stuff and some of the things he would say when he's dealing with the guy that's melting down the bodies or whatever. And he would never, as an older guy, he would never leave himself open for like smart ass things somebody would say. And I see that in me at work. There's guys that leave themselves open for a smart ass remark back that I'm just like, man, just shut your mouth. And with him, he's much sharper as an older guy, of course, because you do that. You just, it's life, you live, and you see kids say, I see guys that work that are 30, kids, that'll say things. You're like, Jesus Christ, man. I'm like, wow, you're leaving them wide open for that one. So,
well, we can relate, but we do it all the time in that age group.
two of my sons are in their 30s. So, I'm getting old.
No, we zing them all the time. Don't worry. Yeah, they open themselves up quite a bit.
They do.
I think Keene theorized that I'm exploring the younger part of Rogan because of my sons being the ages they are, 17 and 23. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but it's easy to see somebody's perspective when you got that right there. You got a guy that, when I wrote Along Come Evening years ago, and the kid with him is basically my father, who is supposed to be 12 or 13 at the time. Aaron was 12 or 13 at the time. So it was neat to have somebody with that body and that, at the time I didn't really give it much thought, but I'm like, I guess I was kind of seeing what he could do physically you'd want to push yourself. So life imitating art, I guess. So.
Yeah.
But
well, the youth of Rogan plays a part in the book, though. I mean, it is a factor in kind of the way the book plays out. I mean, it works for this particular story.
Because he has he has everything, the mentality and the desire certainly of a young guy like that. So I thought it was a little bit of irony when you talked about the more of a sensual scene, that the person he ends up with was probably the same person that the other officer was with the day a couple days before. I don't know if you caught
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah. we talked about that.
She was more of an aged lady and he was like, same gal. I didn't spell it out and beat you over the head with it, but yeah, that was about the way that rolled. It's interesting that you don't really plan that thing. You don't plan that out.
Not at all.
It just happens organically.
So that was your officer, not a gentleman.
Pretty much. I don't think he's like I said, he ain't gonna wipe his dick on the curtains on the way out every time. But he's not an absolute. But he's got his moments. He is a guy that kind of, he is what he is. And so it's a guy that you're not going to totally think like he's not the most upstanding, youth in the world, but you can't help but root for him. That's why I always thought with Darius, he's this kind of a nasty old man, but he's meaner than hell, and it's hard not to like him. That's kind of like Darius. Because he ain't perfect. I mean, who wants to, I think it would be a bitch to write Superman. Because when I see these people try to write all the alternate Superman stories and stuff, I was never a big fan because I'm like, he's so nice. I'm like, boring. Right. Maybe Batman. He'll screw somebody.
Yes.
Batman's got his moments. I mean, Bruce Wayne's flawed as hell. He's fucked up in the head. So that's an interesting
character. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I love him.
I'm not so sold on this new Batman movie, but I won't go off into that.
I'm neither here or there, but I do want to see it. I'm curious.
I think he's kind of little, but what are you going to do? Of course, to me, most of the world's kind of little, so what are you going to do? So,
the thing I love about your characters, though, Shrews, is they can be foul-mouthed and really can get pretty violent, and they're very they have that grit. But at the same time, I mean, they really do rise to the occasion and do end up doing some good, in your books.
Well,
I mean, you straddle a very fine line, and it's always fun to see how you do that with your characters.
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing, the theme that I don't know which book it was in, but someone, I think it was one of the horror westerns, when they intimate the fact that God's using you to get this done. And he replies, God's got a hell of a fucking sense of humor. But that's usually how it is. God doesn't send a choir boy. He doesn't send a pussy. He sends a fighter to do something. That's how that happens. And as much as anybody wants to talk, I'm not talking religion any special way, but I'm saying that's usually how that works. And sometimes God will use what he's going to use, or whatever force you want to believe in. So, and and that's kind of the way that rolls. And it's whether it's open to interpretation, whether you want to accept. I never try to be preaching any of my stuff overtly. I'm a pretty cool guy about a lot of things in the world, but I never try to be. I mean, I guess it's the Christian dynamic of some of that. What I write about, obviously, because I hear the stories, and I'm not absolutely, it isn't absolutely a storyline either, because what was a great line? I don't know if you guys ever listened to Art Bell in the old days.
Oh yeah.
Coast to coast overnight. And there was he used to tape it all night, and I would come in on second shift and he would be on third. He would tape like 5 hours of the show every damn night. We had to have to buy new tapes because we kept wearing them out. But
that's cool.
It was the infamous Father Malachi Martin would be on there talking about demonology.
Oh yeah.
I love Father Martin, and I even bought a couple of his books and read them. But he had a phrase he used, and I will use this as far as literature and timelines and everything else when people want to. I love how people who aren't Christians want to tell me what I believe.
I know the feeling.
They know more than I do. So anyhow, but Father Malachi Martin says, there's a phrase we use, because he said there was somebody who was a Pentecostal preacher in Arizona casting out demons. He said, I don't know why the demons fear him. He goes, I'm glad he does. But he goes, there's a phrase we have in the Vatican. It says, God is unbound, meaning he is not tied to our belief systems. He's not tied to us exactly. He is infinite. And I even had a Lutheran minister told me, talking about the universe and what happened before. He goes, he was from Wisconsin. It was always great to hear about Jesus Christ died on the cross. He did. He talked like a Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
And he would say,
yeah, right.
He says to me once, he goes, What if he did this before? I mean, just destroyed the universe and started all over, did it before.
Yeah.
What if he did?
I've often wondered that. Yeah. You know, I've often wondered that myself, yep. though. I'm like, you know, he's mm-hmm. infinite. He's always yep. been. And I'm like, mm-hmm. how many times has he done this? Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I said,
sure.
he gets bored. He wants
yeah.
company. He went, yeah. I'm like, yeah. think about that. How many times?
Yeah. Well, that's when he said that, I'm like, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, it's an
yeah.
interesting theory. And it's just like, and it doesn't take away from anything that we believe. It's just like, yeah, he could, we're only seeing, what's the old Alan
Part
Moore swamp thing when they're fighting
mm-hmm.
the darkness and it turns out they're at the fingernail they're fighting and they think it's this book. And that's like, we say, what did he see? He encountered Swamp Thing, encountered Dead Man, and he thought God was female. And when the specter or somebody talked to him, and he goes, he's a very young spirit and he sees only the edge of something that goes out forever. So I always thought that
mm-hmm.
was pretty profound that we're only seeing this much of the universe.
Right.
And so, you mm-hmm. know, anything's possible. So it's cool. I mean, I don't.
Well, I'll recommend two titles of Martin I loved. If you want to look at one that's more nonfiction and Hostage to the Devil, that's kind
oh,
of an
yeah. yeah.
overview of actual cases and that he dealt
yep.
with. And then the other one is a novel, but it's thinly veiled. Getting at some interesting topics, but it's called Windswept House, and it is
yes,
a banger.
Yes, I have Windswept House. Yep. I read Windswept
That's
House years ago. Yep.
That'll mm-hmm. get your attention,
bizarre.
Too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he knew what he was talking about, I think. So, interesting stuff.
Yep.
All in all.
I thought
and
so, too.
I was mm-hmm. I was laughing about when you talk about the Nephilim, sometimes you get into the Ancient Alien show. I don't know if you ever see that or not.
Oh yes,
but it's
uh-huh.
the thing I like about that show is just I like to see the stuff and I like to see the place. Not everything's alien.
I love that
like,
show.
Yeah. But I
Arlen Andrews is a frequent guest on that show, and he'll be at Imaginarium this year too.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah, Stephen
yeah.
may have ran into him. He was there last year. I don't know
you may have ran into
that,
Arlen.
But,
yeah, he's
but,
on there all
Arlen's,
the time.
Arlen's awesome. Yeah, he
yeah,
you and he would talk a lot about this.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
He's into
it's
it.
It's a neat show. There's things on it that I really need to bring my son to the convention that 17, the football player guy.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures of.
Oh, God,
yeah.
Because that'd be awesome.
The joke is if I left the table for a while, no one would notice I was gone if he was there. He's not feared at anything, but he is. If you talk to him,
yeah.
you go, this
present.
Guy's really familiar.
Oh.
But
oh, I
we
can't
will be
wait.
Watching some. We'll be watching something, and all the Ancient Aliens will be on. And he'll be there on his laptop talking to his girlfriend. He'll be whatever. And I'll be over there in the laptop writing. And we'll both look up and he'll scream, that's bullshit. That can't be true. And this is, I've got him so well trained. I'll tell real quick little story about that. Whenever they have the Ark of the Covenant stories, and they'll say,
yeah, yeah.
oh, Millenniac come up from Ethiopia, and he left and took the Ark with him. Aaron screams, that's bullshit. He just walked in the Holy of Holies. And walked out with a fucking ark and left a copy. They never noticed on the Day of Atonement. They just walked right in and took it. No kidding. No shit, Sherlock. Yeah, that happened. I mean, of all the amazing things you can believe in, I don't believe that you couldn't just walk up to the Holy of Holies anyway. Like, give me a break. So
yeah, sure. I'm with
I'm
you.
A straight face scholar saying this. I'm like, shut up. of all that story, I find unbelievable. That's the part I find unbelievable.
I agree.
Somebody gave me trouble about the Abraham Lincoln vampire killer movie because the actor playing him was British. And my buddy, I bitched about that. And my buddy goes, that's what you think stupid about that movie?
I enjoyed the movie because it's
oh,
just
yeah.
meant to be silly and just
oh, yeah.
fun and you know and you take it with a grain
sure.
of salt and throw it and just
oh,
have
yeah.
fun. I love vampires, so you know.
I mean,
but
I wish
yeah.
I would have thought of something as stupid as that. Sure, it's, you know.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're like. Sometime
mm-hmm.
I'll have to tell you about me and Michael West's sci-fi monster movie idea that's just so stupid it would have to work.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, that's how they start.
That's
the
usually
cult classics.
The ones that
mm-hmm.
that are big hits. Yeah. It's the
every
ones
once
that are
in a while
so
when
far
we see each other, we will tweak each other because we come up with it at breakfast at Fandom Fest like 10 years ago, and we were just shooting the shit about something. All of a sudden, he goes, "We just both started." It's like the idea just jumped alive, and we always laugh about. We ought to do that just for giggles.
Maybe the time is now. The world needs another cult classic.
If you ever hear about something called Nazi Croc, you'll know what it is.
Oh God, yes, I gotta hear about this.
I'm already intrigued.
It's just as dumb as you might think it is. Although there's a little involved with me, you know. It's like I always got an idea from something I've read about or saw about.
How many Sharknadoes did they make? Let's be real here.
I mean, shoot me. It's unbelievable. Mansquito, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Give me a break. Mm-hmm. They're not even trying. They're obviously got a formula. So, I mean, God bless them. They come up with an idea that it works. But, God, that's so stupid. I wish I would have thought of that. So.
I know.
Well, that's the thing. You mm-hmm. just got to make the darn thing, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, just go for it.
Yeah.
Pitch the idea.
Yeah,
sometimes it's the ideas that you think are just that insane that, you know, never going to go anywhere. Well, that's the ones they'll pick.
My friend Dennis at work always gets to hear, well, he works somewhere else in there now in Caterpillar. I work in giant industrial place. And there's over 1,000 people in there, and you could, like, people say, oh, did you see this guy's kid? I go, no, I've never seen him because, you know, it's huge. But me and Dennis, when we work on a Sunday, I'd be telling them about a book I'm working on or something, an idea, and I'm stuck. And as I'm talking, it solves itself. So it's an interesting thing. And there's a few people I talk to, very few really, that I can talk to like that. And I'll get all of a sudden the idea just generates better because I'm saying it out loud. And, well, I was mm-hmm. laughing about this story ideas you have for books. And I have several dozen, as all writers do. They're just sitting there.
Right.
Some I'm going to develop and some don't. But when I go, this is an idea for this, I go, and that's it. He goes, well, what happens? I go, I don't fucking know yet. I go, no idea. So there's a couple like that.
As far as I've got.
Well, I was at a convention once, more than once, you know, and there's some girl was just plastered out of her mind and she said something and I was pretty well lit too, but I wrote this down and I thought she said something else. What she said was Passion of the Vampire. Now, I don't know if that's an actual book or not.
Ooh.
It could be. But that is not what I heard her say. I heard her say Passion Vampire. And I thought, oh, there's a fucking idea. I found something scribbled down and it says Passion Vampire. And I'm like, what the fuck was I drinking last night? But that happens, you know, it is. So,
we're going to have to collaborate with Shrews on an indie film project, Ollie, clearly.
Well,
yes.
A bourbon-soaked indie
something.
Film project.
Speaking of that, after that bourbon panel, I had I'd never get a hangover anymore, and I had one the day after that. So I had to get up and do a panel at, like, what, fucking 9 in the morning?
Oh, no.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks
yeah,
a lot
I don't
for
do that no more.
I
don't start till 10. I have a few authors like, well, we should start at 9. No, we should not. I'm not doing it ever again.
Yeah, because I could have used a little. I really don't. You know, I don't sleep as much as some folks do, oddly enough, you know, the way my brain works. And boy, I could have used a couple more hours of sleep that day, I'll tell you.
That
yeah,
ended
no
up
kidding.
Being like a three-hour
no
panel, too. I mean, that just did
oh,
not
yeah.
end.
Oh,
people
last
were
year
loving.
Was,
I
yeah.
I thought it was going to be an hour
God.
Long.
Yeah,
and
me
all
too.
Of a sudden, I was like, holy shit, this is just carrying up. It was a lot of fun.
It's insanely popular. That was definitely one
oh,
of the most popular.
Oh, that was a great time.
Yeah.
This year, I'm going to come in here and say, hey, guys, it's been 2 hours.
Yeah,
come out
F.
here
Paul
and
Wilson.
Join us.
F. Paul Wilson,
hey,
Shrews, Nost, me, Barbara
oh,
Evers. Yeah, I know that.
Good Lord.
Well,
F.
Paul Wilson was pouring drinks. That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It was. I got talking.
That was epic.
I knew him vaguely before then. I'd met him several times, but I got to be more mm-hmm. friends with him after and corresponding with him and things after that. And we were on I forget what panel we were on next or the next day beside each other the next day. And we got like shooting the shit during the panel. I mean, we got a lot more. I mean, I'd met him in New York and different in Toronto and a couple different places, but I'd never really had deep conversations with him before. And he read one of my thriller mysteries that I can't place, and he was laughing, saying it was a tad more violent than a usual thriller. Hard to believe. Huh? He goes, you might want to scale back some of the violence. He goes, but it was a good book. I go, well, these things happen. But I don't choreograph any of that shit out. It just happens. I mean, I never.
That's it.
You're telling the story, and Howard used to laugh and say, it's almost like I'm being dictated, like it's happened before. Someone's telling me the story, and in a way that sometimes I wish it would come quicker. But, it's funny how that happens, and I'm not sitting around going, ha ha, this is what I'm going to make the whole story about. No, that's not exactly, it never is, or a certain violent scene or whatever, but they just generate. Because there's these two,
right.
there's a rather Amazonian girl, I know you might see a trend here, in the thriller book, she's like a bodybuilder girl. And she runs into this gal who's very erudite and astute and wearing like a business suit, but she doesn't count on that gal having a taser on her. And she like nails her and knocks her down. Now later in the book, they run into each other, and I don't know where it came from, but she kicked at her. She reaches down to the smaller girl and just breaks her ankle, just twists her leg back. I mean, I didn't even, it's like, oh, that's, you're going to get even for that shit. You're going to kill her, but she like reaches down and snaps her ankle. And I was like, oh, crap. But, got to write about something.
Right. Yeah.
It isn't all just violence. I like to think I get a story in there somewhere in some of that stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you definitely don't lack for story in your books. They're all amazingly fun reads.
Well, I can't give away the big secret about Elisa in the book, but I thought every once in a while you come up with something, you're like, that's a good fucking idea. God, that's a good. So,
yep.
That she wasn't what she appeared to be, and it was just a neat thing to be like, you thought Rogan's the guy that the title's about. It's not. It's a neat thing. I don't want to totally fuck it up, but it was a lot of fun doing.
Well, it's loaded. You don't see a lot of things coming in your book because obviously it's in a mythic setting. So, you have stuff everywhere popping out of the woodwork. Yeah, just a stop in a town becomes a harrowing adventure.
I've made this point before in different things. If somebody read you can name whatever famous author you want, wrote a 10 book series, and there was a 700 page volume in it that nothing happened. I go, how do you do that? I know not everything can be balls to wall violence from cover to cover, but you don't advance the story at all? I assume that's what they meant, that nothing happened as far as advancing.
You're reading a book and you go on and on and on, and the character just stays the same. Same from the beginning, a bunch of shit happens, and then there's, resolution, but the character never develops, never changes. No. Never just stays the same, and I'm like, no, if they've went through all this shit, they're going to be a different person,
Oh, of course. I mean, that's one of the points of doing the younger Rogan stories is how did he get to be that jaded of a bitter old prick, that he is in Curse of the Bastard and in the Bastard book. So, talking to Nephilims again, I've never correct me, Stephen, because maybe you've seen this or wrote about it yourself, but I never see a female one talked about.
Mm-hmm.
They're always guys.
That's true.
Not in lore. Me and you and I play with Nephilim lore a lot. But as far as the historical lore, no, they don't actually address that.
See, that's why I kind of decided to sneak some of that in, because I was like, you never hear about the girls. And I did that a little bit in the Philistine with Goliath's sister and everything, that you didn't know what they were. So I decided just to, have some fun with other lore with it, and pick them on it, and it happens. So such is the way it went. So it's funny how different names come up. The one city where the Gorgons are was called Madron after Susie Madron, a writer that I met at, that's not even her real last name. I found out later. but I met her at Scares a couple years ago, and we had breakfast and stuff on the last day, and she talked my leg off, and I was like, I didn't know her. And then I see pictures from the bar the night before, and she was sitting by me, and I was like, I didn't even notice she was there. She's kind of small, but anyway, it's funny how characters, funny how names end up in places and things, and, you know,
right?
Just how that goes.
Yeah.
But I will always credit Adrian with coming up with more for the mammoth, so, because she's really into mammoths and stuff. So it's a nice thing of her to do.
Well, I should let you know, Shrews, Rob Hoff, we haven't seen Rob in a while, and he just dropped in the chat room on the show.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
The Hoff is in the house.
Hoff's in there. Clayton Barnett's in there.
Yeah.
How is Rob sober at this hour enough to be in the chat room?
I don't even want to ask.
We had a lot of fun at the award ceremony. We had some fun when he's sitting there telling me a story about the belly dancers getting out and starting telling me who she is. And I'm like, you're full of shit. She comes by our table and goes, hey, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I thought he was pulling my leg. So that was a good story.
Bless her heart. I tell you what, Sophia and her husband, Ken, are two of the most just kindest, sweetest people, and they live here in Lex, and they're always so busy because literally Sophia goes everywhere now, and I mean she was booked that night, so she, because they're friends of ours, so she's like, I'm going to pop in, I'm going to do a award ceremony, and then I got to run, and I'm like, cool, you know, okay, and so that's what
they
they've
only had
done,
enough time
you know?
To
I
do
mean,
that, and they left, yeah. And
yeah,
that,
I mean, she made the time to do that for us. It's badass. I love her to death, and kudos to Sophia and Rob just loves Sophia.
Oh, he was telling me that, and I was like, yeah, sure, right.
Yeah, he's in the chat room. He's like, Sophia Noir, baby.
And she's bringing a group with her this time. She is bringing like several of her top students with her, so this could be like a full on big performance.
Oh, well,
it's going
to
be crazy.
That'll be good.
Yeah, we just found that out actually this past weekend. So.
He said, Rob wants to know, Stephen, he wants to know when you were going to write a Canadian serial killer series about Justin Trudeau and company.
Are you telling it right? It's going to write itself. Jesus. What was I've seen some hilarious Justin Trudeau memes and thoughts lately, and I like
a ton
for Christ
everywhere.
My freaking guy. I mean, but what did I see? And it's really not very kind about was the Bruce Jenner whatever he's changing, you know, and Caitlyn's gonna donate her balls to Trudeau. So that's not.
Oh God!
Funny. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of different. Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff. Stuff I can't repeat on this air here.
I probably should have said that one. Yeah, there's a picture of Trudeau and Greta Thunberg with one that absolutely.
Yeah,
hilarious.
I saw that one.
I really don't want to say
Lord!
It.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. Yeah, I saw that one.
That is fucking hilarious, and I was like, until you're halfway through done reading the sentence, you're like, oh shit, that's what.
Hoff says, ain't that Illinois governor locked Shrews up yet for insurrection?
Oh, I tell you, I'm a big fan of that guy. Fucking asshole. He's talking about taking the masks away on the 28th, and I'm like, yeah, sure, because it's going to be election time, yeah. But anyway,
Don't
even get me started on our governor that tells us, a couple years ago, in lockdown, stay where we're at. Then he goes to Wisconsin to his horse farm, and his wife flies to Florida to his mansion. I forget how many billionaires live in Illinois, and three of them are named Pritzker. It's makes you wonder.
Right.
And
you
should see me do my Pritzker impersonation, what he does with his hand. Like, you guys are too.
Oh, God.
He's like Colonel Clink. He's like, you guys are just too fucking beneath me to talk. He's a, anyway. I wonder where I get my rage from sometimes. Boy, you just mentioned the Illinois governor, and I about went off. Didn't I?
Yeah.
He's one of those people who hasn't went to prison. Hey, he hadn't went to prison yet. Illinois holds a good record. Jesus Christ. All the people in Illinois, the governors of Dan Walker and fucking Ryan and
Well, I lived in Indiana when we had Mike Pence, so I understand.
Well, I guess you did your time.
He's about adults. You know, it's like, kept you screws loose, Mike.
I don't know where they grow some of these guys or how they get them.
I don't know. They pull them out of the woodwork, and it's like, you know, you always vote for the lesser of the evils, but it's like, wow.
He's had a terrible way to be. It's just, this is the best we got.
Yeah. It's sad.
That's true. As my late mother used to say, and this is in the 90s, and she used to go, because, you know, she's looking at someone who – this is a woman who grew up in the 30s and 40s, and she goes, who's there left to be president? There's just nobody good left to be president anymore. You know, I'll never forget her saying that. Because I said, oh, Ma, they'll come up with somebody. Boy, was I wrong.
Maybe Rob Hoff can throw his hat in the ring, you know, because – Yeah, he's good at catching fish. He's really good. He caught eight more trout today, evidently. He said in the chat room he's caught eight more trout.
See, Shrews needs to come down. Oh, my God, we need to have a weekend, and we could do that in London, Kentucky, get one of those cabins at that dam we go to, Steve, that lock down there out of
Laurel River Lake.
Squire Boone Forest.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, Rob knows how to get the trout. And we should all go fishing and rent out a cabin for the weekend. Daniel can come up. We can have a blast.
Well, that sounds like a blast, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Bourbon, fresh fish. Yeah.
Daniel, bring some cigars. We'll smoke them.
Oh, hell yeah. I betcha. I'm all for that. That sounds like a hell of a time.
God, that sounds awesome, actually.
That's it. Rob, help me.
Yeah, I said
Laurel Lake. That's it. Oh, my God. They have a beach there, and the water is like the Caribbean. I swear to God. They call it the Caribbean of Kentucky. It is crystal clear. Me and Steve.
It's weird but true. Yes, we've gone there
multiple
times.
It is weird. We went a couple times last year. We took the grandkid, and she loved it, but the water is like clear, I mean, several feet out. It's insane. Mm. But it's a huge lake. There's a Holly Bay, which, they knew how to name that, right? You know,
that's where the marina is. And we have a friend with a pontoon boat. It has a pontoon boat in that marina, so we're good.
we need to go. That sounds like a plan. I don't know how much of an outdoor guy I am,
Well, we could call it. We will call it a writer's retreat.
Holly, we could tag in a Lexington book signing for Shrews, so he can write off the whole trip, you know, and his
author's
expense.
There you go, business expense.
Right.
I like it.
And then we just shoot down there. So yeah, we can make it work.
That sounds like a great write off. Yeah.
I think we're going to have to follow up with Shrews on this. This is a good idea.
Well, that does sound like a great idea.
Let's do a Joe Beth book signing, and then we'll follow it up at Laurel Lake.
Great.
Sounds wonderful.
This is perfect. I wish I did that at some point.
Make it so. This is the way.
You betcha.
Yep. Oh, God.
I love that show. Hard to believe.
Oh, God, we do too.
Did I ever tell you about pitching the Boba Fett novel, the Timothy Zahn story?
No. Tell us.
I had dinner with someone, the other famous up at the Star Wars thing, and I told him about a novel I want to write for Boba Fett, and it would take place between the trilogies, you know, and when he was before, you know, he's, you know, before New Hope. And it was gonna be it would be better than the one they just aired. I mean, that's okay, but he's, you know, it'd be, you know, adventure, you know, and kind of an Indiana Jones and 007 thing in space. But the punchline is incredibly dark of what Boba had hid in his base, of what he was being, you know, keeping track of. It's great when Tim Zion looks you in the face and goes, "That's a bit too dark." So maybe I should scale my ideas back a little bit. I'll tell you what it is sometime off air. But it wasn't nothing sexual. It was just something twisted of how he would be getting even father over and over again. So anyway, put, I was like, they go, that's a little dark. I go, yeah, it is. I mean, hey, you want to play, play. But, no, I mean, it's, I love, as much as we always see other people's stuff, like, I'd love to write, people go, oh, wouldn't you like to write a Conan novel? I go, not really. They go, really? I go, no, I'd like to write a Bran McMoran novel. And I've actually, you know, I've put some overtures out about a project like that to these people who, what is it? Somebody at Titan is doing this, but they might do some Howard characters, some books and stuff. And they were opened it up. And of course, you know, you get a zillion volunteers say, all right, one. And people that are, you know, far more talented than I am in theory. But I sent a treatment for a Bran McMoran novel. Then the guy really liked it. He says, well, we'll get back to you. I'm like, well, you know, sure, we'll see. So that's how it goes. And well, the idea for that novel, and they're like, oh, shit, that's good. And I said, well, I'm tempted to write it because I don't have to have it be – I could change who the guy is easy enough, but it's not something that necessarily takes place in that time era. It kind of moves around. So, but anyway, I mean, you got to think about something. So I'll be worried if I run out of ideas. So
I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
I really don't. Great stuff.
I mean, if you saw the notes and the stuff, and I got planned out, and it's like, oh geez, I don't know if I can live long enough, but I'm gonna try. Because one thing about doing Killer at Giants, and it's kind of meandered. I mean, I already got the sequel written, so a Blake spell takes place, you know, within, you know, a few weeks after at the end of Killer of Giants, and it's in Africa. So a little bit different. We get some time-traveling wizards and all kinds of fun stuff in that one. So.
Oh, cool. That is awesome.
Yeah. Aleister Crowley shows up in it. Anyway. I wrote about Alistair in Bad Magic, and I had fun with him as a young character in that one. He just happened to be in the place. That's absolutely true. Aleister Crowley just happened to be passing through El Paso the exact time I was setting that book. And
wow.
He said Juarez was the largest example of sin and debauchery he ever saw in his life. This was, he's 24, and I'm like, wow.
Nice.
But so Juarez was obviously a shithole in 1901. As it is now. So, but I had some trouble with my friend, you guys know Bob Freeman. Well, I was having trouble.
Well, yeah,
I was having,
Bob, yeah.
Well, he's a major Crowley guy. And I says,
oh, yeah. I need
Crowley to be like back in time here. And he gave me this character name that was one of his aliases and something people were familiar with. And that is who the wizard is. That in the book that with Rogan, and Rogan calls him asshead through the whole book. He just totally demeans this guy. I mean, he's mad at him the whole time. Because there's a scene where they're all getting strung up and the rope changes to a snake and he thinks the wizard did it. But he didn't. It was this other woman that made it happen. He goes, what?
Uh-huh.
He keeps saying to him, he goes, why the fuck are you here with me, asshead? Why are you even with me anymore? But there's a reason why he's there, and there's a reason why they're all – I mean, there's a point to it all. And because you even see Rogan get to see a little peep of our world towards the end of that one. So,
oh, yeah, cool.
I tell all the horrific things that happened in the book, and my son will say, another family novel by Steve Shrewsbury.
Another good, nice, nice, sweet family novel.
Another heartwarming family novel by my father, Stephen Shrewsbury.
The book about Garias that I haven't ever got, I've scaled it back a little bit, the gigantic one, the A Reckoning Day, that's the closest thing to
that's
a romance
next.
Novel I've ever written. Yeah, that's next.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to trim that down a little more. I trimmed it down about 10,000 words. And so it's, because I really kind of was all over the place with that one, so I'm trying to tighten it up a little bit. But you see why. Well, for one thing, I've written you see his daughter born in that book, Dryas's daughter, and I've written an entire book about his daughter, full grown. So it's like, well, I probably better fucking tell how she got born. So, you know, it's bizarre that they come to you at different waves. And
book
about
absolutely
his daughter's name is Roan, and she's quite the gal. And it was interesting for me to write as with a woman as a lead character in that book. And like I said, it's about third draft, but because I've never done that, you know, never written as a woman as a lead character. And somebody said, "Oh, what's she like?" And I said, "She's pretty tough." You know, imagine that. She's pretty tough. And
not in the Shrews book.
Well, there's a thing where she doesn't have her armor or swords or anything, and she's in a bathhouse thing, and she kills like five guys naked. And it's not because she's naked. I wanted to show that she was that goddamn tough without any weapons. And she is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was pretty, and she's pretty harsh, but it dealt with some things, and people are always bringing up him to her father and stuff. And she's like almost blowing it off the whole book. And when she totally gets fucked over halfway through it, she's sitting there in this cave, and everybody thinks she's dead, and she's like, and it's like the first time she even addresses it. And she says, "Well, Papa, what do I do now?" Like she's talking to him, and she like addresses her father. She thinks about him. And then you see how there's a later that shows how he taught her how to pick a lock with like something in her teeth. And it was like, there's little things you see because she was with him like the last part of his life. Well, you haven't seen her yet in any of the books, but it's just interesting. Well, something I'm exploring right now. Anyway,
that is awesome.
Yeah. So
a little scoop here on the show. Nice. Nice.
Well, heck yeah.
Works in progress.
Well, you talk to me long enough, I'll tell you all kinds of crazy. I'm not even been drinking that much yet.
He's posting links to Demons and Wizards by Uriah Heep. So you got Hoff on the chat room.
You got Hoff inspired. What inspires Shrews? What inspires the story? Does anything like just really get your juices flowing? What inspires you?
Sometimes it's music. Sometimes I'm listening to something, and it doesn't have to be, you know, I was just listening to Neon Nights today with, you know, Dio singing Sabbath, and it's such a great song, circles and rings and dragons and kings, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah. But it isn't always
I had it on
like
two
that.
Weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, I was playing that album.
Well, I love some of that stuff like that. It's, but
from listening to his talking, I would say it's a 6-foot-tall, red-headed Amazonian girl.
Yes. Those are very inspiring. Yes, those are very inspiring.
They are.
I got to admit.
They sure are.
I got to admit.
Steven agrees.
I'm the ones that are 6'1", too. Yeah.
Yeah,
he lives with one, you know.
Yeah. I got no. but, yeah, that's very inspiring for various reasons. But literature-wise, yeah. Sometimes I actually know a couple tall gals that have kind of templates for different people, but that's neither here nor there. But Darius McGall came about. Me and my brother Mark, who lives in Ohio now, and I miss him to death if he's listening to this. You know, he's smarter than I am about history and weapons and everything. He really is. I mean, there's a reason why I love. We would sit down sometimes on a Sunday at noon, and we would drink all day and just talk about we'd have, you know, music playing and stuff. We could talk about stuff just all day long, and we never hit the same topic. And we were listening to different bluegrass things, and Grias Legall come about because of a few bluegrass songs, and people are like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." There's a couple different songs that inspired the character to appear that way. And sometimes I'm reading something that hits me the right way, and not necessarily anything fantasy oriented or western oriented or horror oriented. I mean, I could be reading I don't read romance regularly or anything, and I encourage everybody to not include other kinds of literature than what you're into, because not only just because romance outsells everybody, believe it or not, but because it makes your mind work different. I think Louis Lamar said that, like, read something else, like read a Western, read a suspense book, read how other people do things. And that inspires me, but music does a lot. Sometimes the random phrase, like I said, hearing that over here in a phrase will, just different things. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a hallucinogen drug guy to get my ideas that way. I hear something.
Not an ayahuasca guy. Not an ayahuasca guy.
No, God forbid if I did do peyote buttons or something, what I would come up with there. I mean,
yes.
Really, Grias McGall's going to yoga. No, I wouldn't be coming up with shit like that. So, but I mean, it's whatever people can do. And, I mean, sometimes it's just life, too. I mean, running into people or running into experiencing something in life, and your brain opens up a little better. And how that rolls, and I'm a pretty regular guy as far as some of that goes, but I'm not quite dead yet. Got a couple ideas left.
Oh, you got a lot of life left.
Oh God, yeah, you do. That is awesome.
Do you know I can see my, I can see my grave from my backyard. half a mile up the road, a small, it's a grain elevator, and there's some houses up there. But down the what used to be a railroad track, there's a small graveyard, and I can see where I'm going to be buried from my yard. How creepy is that, huh?
Well, I grew
up just
right down the road from where I'm going to be buried. And and Stephen's always like, don't talk about it. He knows, you know, and all my kids know where I'm going. But, yeah, he's like, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
Well,
but I'm not going to be in the ground because I have to be able to get back out, you know, because being the closet vampire that I am, I have to have the above ground crypt so I can get back out of it, obviously.
Well, I got you.
Yeah. Well, Shrews is going to be what's going to be a long time, because Shrews will be like Darius, and he'll live for centuries, so we're not – that won't happen anytime soon.
My lineage lives to their 90s. My father was the only Shrewsbury that died in his 70s in recent memory. I mean, Joel lived to be 96, and my grandfather died when he was 96. And those fuckers live forever, the Shrewsburys do.
Fantastic.
So
my parents
good.
Do, apparently. Yeah, they're getting up there, too. So I'm like, well, I got a good chance, although they're healthier than I am. So
I'll tell you, the one story, it's funny how that works out. The one story that I was laughing about with drinking all day with my brother Mark, I will tell this because he'll get a kick out of it, because I know him and his son are going to listen to this tomorrow probably, or they might be right now for all I know. But anyway, I could sit in with my brother Mark for hours, and we wouldn't have a disagreement. We would drink all day. I have a different brother I could drink coffee before church with, and I want to strangle him in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I had
two brothers
people.
Like that.
Oh, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a cruel irony.
I sure did. It's so funny.
You
could have the same parents, but... Well, yeah, you can have the same parents and genetically be, you know, so close, but so far away. You know, one of my brothers, they're both gone now, but one of them I got along with fabulously and so much alike, and the other one, night and day, and, you know, we could talk about anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't get it. I always like to tell people I was the smallest in my family. It's kind of a running gag, but I'm the baby in my family. And I have a brother 20 years older than I am. Neither one of them. It's just bizarre because he was overseas in Vietnam when I was born. I mean, it's just an interesting. They go, good Lord, you got that big of a family. And I said, five of us. There's four boys and one girl. But there's three boys that didn't make it. She miscarried halfway through. So my mother always joked about my father, who was imagine that my dad was a big strapping guy. I know it's stunning, probably. But he was, they said, she's the old Jack. He was a straight shooter. You want to hear the creepiest thing my mother, who would never discuss sex in a million years, said?
What?
This is you're going to get a laugh out of this. It's a funny story because while mom was a very strict, very German Lutheran woman, she had a good sense of humor, but she was very strict. And you never discussed women problems. You never mentioned that stuff. Well, there were no girls in the house I grew up anyway. So it was just something funny she said once because in the late 90s, I got tested because we were trying to have a baby. And, of course, it didn't happen like everybody else. You know, everybody else. I said we should just get drunk and do it in the truck, but she wouldn't do it. So we got tested for – I got tested for – all the kids get pregnant that way. So
well, that's true.
The actual story of me going to the sperm thing to get tested is a – Seinfeld episode all in itself. That's a whole other story. I'll tell it on a panel someday. But needless to say, I got the result. You really can't imagine what happened. The result came back that every man wants to hear. My little Filipino doctor goes, oh, highest count in Livingston County. Never saw a sperm count this high. I'm like, yeah, man. So I was telling my mom, my mother overhears me saying this. My mom goes, huh, that figures. Only took a drop from your father. I was like,
oh!
I was like, Jesus, did he shoot you across the room or what the fuck happened? So there's a little dark Shrewsbury family story for you. But anyway, she's the last person to ever discuss sex in the world said that phrase, and I'm like, crap, what's that mean?
Wow.
But anyway, that's just one of them stories.
Oh, my God.
The Hoff says you should have told him you'd bottle some up for a fee.
tell Hoff if I, you know, this is the old joke that they have to chew before they can swallow. No, that's not really true. Chunky. No, not so.
Oh, man.
It's so many per millimeter. But anyway. But, you know, there's a gal I know in Kentucky that used to joke about her husband's drive wasn't as good as it should be, and she goes, "Can I have a pint of your blood?" And I said, "Well, don't know if I can give you one at the convention, but I don't know. I still got a few miles left on me in my old age, though." So. Anyhow,
now that's definitely some merch. Yeah, on your for your merch page, yeah, pint of blood.
Pint of blood or sperm for the less fortunate. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I could have the vials, have frozen vials there at the fucking table by my
Hey, blood is glorious. Yeah. Blood is the fountain of youth.
Yeah, put that up on Shopify or Etsy.
Yeah.
Blood is a glorious thing. Isn't that right, Mr. Dark?
Yes, it is. And I consume, several units of it a year, so.
Rather
yes, he does.
W
he actually does. They have to give it to him, yeah. He does. He is a true vampire.
you take that in a glass or in a tube?
Right now it's in a tube.
Well.
they keep it packaged up for me, nice and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much?
Warm it up to room temperature and then, let me have
India.
It.
Throw it in there.
You're a regular Russian athlete. You hear that's how they do the blood doping over there? They'll take out a couple pints of blood, and then they put it in them before they get to the Olympics.
Oh, really?
Show up, but, that's called blood doping. I heard about it years ago.
Yeah.
Fucking Russian.
Right.
Gotta love them.
I'm a lot of Kennison when it comes to Russians. But anyway, I guess that's my German heritage. My mother used to say her sainted father, he goes, he hated the damn Russians. I was like, he was born in America, but they were from Germany, like, big time. Like, his dad fought, with the Bismarck and the First Reich, and it's something else to know your family history on both sides way far back. But anyhow.
That's true.
That he just hated the Russians. I go, imagine that. But, that's why it was funny when my father would tell me stories about Joel from the Civil War that he appears in the Long Come Evening, and I said, what was he really like? He goes, well, he was really tall and had green eyes, and he was, like, loud and meaner and shit. I go, really? I'm shocked. Nobody like that in our family. So,
no.
But anyway. But, like I said, my son is an interesting – he's been with his latest girlfriend for a while, for several months, so God bless him, he's staying with this one. But he was going, he was changing up about every 3 months for a while. When he would break up, and he would sit there, he'd be playing video games, and he would put his phone between us, and he'd go, wait for it, Dad. And all of a sudden, the damn phone blew up. I pick it up, and he goes, go ahead and read it. It was like a dozen girls going, oh, Aaron, I'm so sorry you broke up with her. How are you?
oddly enough, he's a womanizer.
I don't know where he gets it from. He's, if I showed you the girls, they all got red hair. I think his newest one has kind of strawberry, though. So. I told you he was mini me.
Is she an Amazon? Yeah, that explains it.
The girl he's with now is a cheerleader, but she's also plays volleyball, and she's really tall too. So,
oh, there
but
you go.
Tall,
there
he's
you
real,
go.
He's real tall. So,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, I said I was the future of the human race, but I just can't go there from town to town, like Bill Bixby, and just spreading it out and creating big beautiful children. But the wife frowns on that. So,
Now you have to pass. You have to pass it to the newer generation.
Yeah, because I made two really good ones. So they're good boys. Both of them are.
There you go.
Does he have a 90-day rule?
Pardon me?
What?
Does he have a 90-day rule? After 90 days, they got to go.
He was kind of changing them out like that for a while. He was. Swear to God. It was like a 3-month thing, but this girl has been with at least 6 months.
Fantastic.
She's crazy. She's crazy about him, too, which is nice. She's scared shitless of me, though, boy. I've never met her, and everybody goes, what? She saw me at a couple football games, and she told Aaron, she goes, your dad is so damn scary. I don't want to go there. I swear to God, she's like, terrified of me. So I said, boy,
that's
I could have
hilarious.
A lot of fun with this. I could have a lot of fun with this. But,
yeah, you could.
So I tried to pick this guy.
You wait till she comes for dinner, and you'd say, "What's your intentions with my son?"
Well, it was the funny thing once is they were coming. They were supposed to come over one time, and he told me she's coming over, and I said, "So are pants optional?" He says, "Don't even joke about that."
Be cleaning your gun, you know.
Yeah, that would be funny. I mean, he's a.
Yeah, it would.
But that's
oh.
This is the same. This is the same kid that.
Your tighty whities that aren't too tight and not very white anymore.
Oh boy, no, I don't wear them. But that would be a great image for. But so I was. This is the same kid as when he got into football 2 years ago. Actually, he was in JV football, of course, your guy. But when he was going into freshman, he goes, "Dad, you got to come with me to the meeting." And I said, "Well, it's all right. I'm going. You know, the introduction to high school thing." He goes, no, you got to meet the coaches with me. And I said, well, okay. He goes, I just wanted to see how big I'm going to get. So I was like, this is the end product. And he's grown since then. He's a big old kid. He makes me sick.
That's
how
awesome.
Can he take me? Fucker lifts weights every day.
The Hoff says to tell you that he'll call in about the Bears if you like.
Oh, God.
Well,
I'm
he also
suffering.
Suggested a new book for you, Shrews, Parenting Tips from Shrews. It's a guaranteed bestseller.
Parenting Tips. Hey, neither of my kids ever been in any trouble yet. They're both good, guys.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, he knows. We were talking football, and he knows I'm a suffering Bear fan, and good Lord, it was a tough season. But no, I mean, that was a funny story about when one of my brothers said that they had adopted a kid, and he was a couple months younger than John, my oldest son. This is back in the late 90s, and I was working nights at the time. I got up. I'm sitting on the couch. We had this old console on the ground, you know, giant TV. And those boys are toddling, and they got the – both got binkies in their mouth. And Jacob's messing with it. I go, Jacob, stop it. My son John's eyes got huge. Jacob, pay me no mind. He starts – that's why I go, Jacob, cut it out. John just freezes. I started to get up because he still kept like trying to break the buttons off. I start to get up. John just, I wish I had film of it. It looked like Frankenstein walking. He just turned away like, fuck, I'm getting out of here. He knew I was going to smack his ass one. So I was like, no. He says, John's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here before anything happens. So, no, I never, the good parenting tips to you. Don't take any shit off your kids when they're little and helps when they're older. So
that's exactly right.
I mean, I was never abused.
If you let them get by with murder when they're real little, then it's only going to get worse.
Yep. I mean,
yep.
I wish I could have freeze-dried John at 4 because he's still the same kind of guy. He's very, very, very sweet, very nice compared to the other one. It was more of a challenge. But Aaron's a great guy. I mean, he's a good guy. And he was just one that had to think about shit a little bit more. And he's the one that always had to have stitches or would break something. Or that was just
right.
Just him. So, but John has this really dark sense of humor. Like when Aaron's hair would ever be sheared down, there's these marks where he got staples in the back of his head from cutting it open once. And John would always say,
God,
that's where the lobotomy scars are. John would say that's the lobotomy scars. But anyway, because he's a smart ass like I am too. He picks his spot.
My kids threaten their kids, my grandchildren, with mammy camp. if they don't behave, they're going to send them to Mammoth for Mammy Camp.
Oh,
it's not boot camp. It's Mammy Camp. It's worse.
That's funny.
Mammy
that's
runs
funny.
A tight
yeah,
ship.
Worse.
I don't put up with shit. You know?
Oh, my.
Nope.
What? I don't know where my mom was. Mine. Hard to believe.
But
I had
they love me to death.
Mother.
My grandkids love me, and they take it. But they, by God, they know they better listen. They better walk the chalk when they're here, because
I talk about my. You can be talking about my kids. I'll never shut up about them. I know, but I'll tell one last creepy Aaron story. When he wasn't 2 years old yet, sitting on the swing set, he started telling me. He goes, "You know, Dad, I had to fight off a lot of other babies to be born to you guys." And I said, "Really?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I shoved them all." He goes, "I shoved them all to one side so I could come to you guys." He's telling me he's like 21 months old and telling me this. I go, "Really?"
Wow.
I was trying to get out of him where he was, and he goes, "But it was like he was telling this elaborate story about how he beat up a bunch of babies to get to be born to me."
But you know, it may not have been an elaborate story. I've heard this before by babies because they remember things. Then that they won't now, but you know, especially with reincarnation or birth, you know, if you believe
he's
in that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've heard
guy.
Tales of that,
yeah.
and kids tell these weird stories. It's like, wow.
And he's that's always the joke is it's like he's been here before. Like nothing surprises
exactly.
him too much. He was like, you know, okay, I'll tell one more Aaron story. we were scared to care about. 3 or 4 years ago, because he was much smaller, and there was a rather statuesque, picturesque, tall Canadian gal with kinky red hair, and she was. And Aaron wanted to, Aaron wanted to find a Hammer of Thor necklace, and there's all kinds of vendors, you know, slew of vendors there. So, and this woman says to me, she goes, "Well, I got to get up and get my books put out." She goes, "Well, I'll show them around." So everybody sees Aaron walking around, and she's got the black nylons on, the short skirt, and he's got a hold of her arm, and she's got, you know, just done up to the nines and big heels
on. Oh, my
God. And she's walking around with him, and Aaron's holding hands with this big red gal going around all these tables. And somebody, I think Keen says, "That's Shrews' kid, isn't it?" And they go, "He goes, that's a big fucking surprise." he was like 12.
Oh, my God.
So
that's awesome.
It's kind of a tradition, I think. So
that is fantastic, Shrews.
That's
epic. He's a good boy. Anyway.
Well, the Hoff actually wanted to say hi to you in person, so I'm going to let him come on real quick
to
say hi.
Sure.
Here. Rob Hoff.
I don't know if I asked this before, Shrews, or not, but have you taken Aaron to Soldier Field yet?
I have. That is an example of my bad parenting. We have not been to Soldier Field
together.
Don't
put that one in the book, then, okay? Until you do it. But
I have been there several times.
Okay, all right. I went to the dentist yesterday for the regular checkup thing, right? My dentist is a big Bears fan, James Adabi.
Okay.
And he, you know, of course, he's not he feels about like you. Now, I'm not on social media anymore except for Getter. I got rid of all that stuff just because of how much propaganda it is and what they actually fund. But anyway, beside the point, you know, we always have this ongoing dialogue about, you know, Bears and Bengals. You know, obviously the Bears beat the Bengals this year. Somehow, but
for all the good it did us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't, you know, but, my point with him was like, well, I think what we had been talking about was like Justin Fields, you know, but if you know, the example was like what happened with Joe Burrow. Now I think Burrow is probably a little better than Fields, but Fields got a lot of ability. He just don't have anybody to throw to, you know, you know. But NFL's great because it can change in 1 year, you know.
I mean, I'm hoping the new staff will, like, teach him something or at least understand his abilities and do.
Well,
that's why I really
thought they'd make a play for Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And he's cool because he stays on the sideline, you know, and he's been running this Mahomes stuff this whole time as well.
Be better geared
I mean,
for him
you know.
Than,
Sure. And that's what Fields is. He's a prototype Mahomes. I don't think he's quite that good, but he's pretty close in terms of raw talent.
He's got a good zip on him, and he can move, and he's got a good zip on his throw. But it's just like, God, tailor the shit to him, and don't like shore him into something you don't know how to do. And,
yeah, trying to toggle back between Fields and Andy Dalton is like a recipe for. You know, bear stew. It's not good.
Well, you need to go.
I'm sure you definitely
Rob,
got
you need to go
Dalton
back to the days of Bob Avellini, man. Go back to the
old
school.
Oh, yeah. I remember old Bob Avellini, man.
Oh, my
God. Or how about Bobby Douglas?
We're talking left-handed quarterbacks, though.
Yep.
We're talking running quarterbacks now, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was the last, or before Lamar Jackson, he might have been the last quarterback to rush for 1,000 yards.
Oh, yeah. He ran a lot.
And that was a 14-game season.
Oh, yeah. It was. Aaron always says to me, because believe me, watching a game with me and him is really something to get pretty nasty. And he always says, why doesn't anybody do like Walter Payton and vault over the fucking pile anymore? Like,
well,
I hope
he played linebacker, right? I hope you showed him some.
He plays fullback,
buckus.
Too.
Well,
yeah, he's a fullback, yeah.
Oh, he loves.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, he knows. I got a picture of him standing by the statue of Butkus at U of I down here where Butkus went, and it's believed that he's a big fan. And
you guys watched the Brian Piccolo movie together and stuff like
that,
or no?
Oh, believe me, we're like sick that way. Oh, yeah.
Hey, put it in the book, man. Put it in the book. You could have a Chicago bestseller, you know, seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
National bestseller. Parenting with Shrews. Tips from Shrews. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
He just got a letter from he gets letters from different football colleges that are smaller all the time. He got one from West Georgia today of all places.
Cool,
and
man.
They're gonna go to Waukegan and work some people out next month, and I think he's going up for the workout for that.
Well, what year is he's a senior this year?
He'll be a senior. He's a junior.
Oh, good. That's cool that
he's got one more year.
What's his measurables at this point? How big is he?
He's about 6'2 and 220 right now.
Oh, that's definitely linebacker mode, man. If he can,
if he gets bigger than that,
he'll have to go edge.
Well, that's kind of the joke. Is he's gonna, if he's as tall as me, he's gonna. There's a danger of him being even taller than me because I have a nephew who's like 6'8". Mark, we call him Little Mark. My brother Mark's son, Mark Jr. He's like 6'6", 6'8". He's bigger than all of us. He sounds like Robert on Raymond. He's like, oh,
everybody loves Raymond.
Bring him to
the
convention too. Bring him to the convention.
If he's listening to this, I hope I'm not pissing him off, but I do look up to him literally. I really have to look up if I ever see him.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love it.
I love my fellow tall people. I love it.
Oh yeah. There was somebody at the plant where I work. There's, you know, he's rather let's say this guy was socially awkward. And there's somebody said, oh, is that your kid? And I said, we would have thrown that one back at my house. So small. Like, no. No way.
Hey, I had to do that today, man. I got they dumped another 1,000 trout in this pond I fish. And there still were some in there. But they put them in so small, I had to literally release six back. I still got my eight, which is the limit, but it was like – now
were
it's like,
like,
you know,
the, pick up 14.
Were you doing
in
like
other
the
words.
Mo Howard, go back and get your brother and get your old man type thing? Keep throwing the small
well,
one back.
No, but there was a guy with his wife fishing there today, man, and they were killing it. It was cool. It was cool to watch because they, you know, they were particular. They were having the same issue with, you know, the smaller ones because they do that. They stock this thing like twice a year in October, and it's usually not until March, but they already put them in. Because I was there last Friday, and they had postponed the deliveries, and I caught fish that were all big. I didn't catch any little ones. And today it was like you couldn't keep them off the damn hook.
Hungry.
Oh, yeah,
I got
them all baked. I didn't eat them today, but I'm getting ready to start Lent. This is what I did last year. That's why I got on this big trout kick. I started off with Lent, and next thing I know, I've caught 263 trout.
Nice.
That'll last you through the season, through Lent, I think.
Well,
he ate
them. Well, no, that was the Lent. See, that's how I had to propose this to my wife,
so I could go fishing a lot. Was like, okay, this is my Lent. I'm gonna go catch these trout, and then I'm gonna eat one meal a day with these trout for as long as I could. You know, in the summer I can't catch. There's none there. So like 3 months there was no fishing, but I could catch enough to keep pretty much. I've eaten so many trout that I've actually started to grow some caudal fins.
Imagine that. I was thinking about giving up drinking for Lent, but I don't know if that's possible. I think I'll give up liking redheads first.
I had a couple bottles. That Bengals Super Bowl, man, you know, that was a thrill. I mean, I've been waiting for this for so long.
I
remember the first
almost
two.
Almost as long as me.
They should have, at least they won in 85. I mean.
Yeah, they won in 85, and then they choked later. But
you know, that's the thing, man. As good as that team was, there's no guarantee you get back. That's why it's like, You know, they were that close. They were beating that team, and they should have stepped on it, but they couldn't figure out how to stop the pass rush again, just like what happened
to them against
the Titans.
You guys got your line worse than ours, I think.
Yes, but they're $60 million under the salary cap, but they've got several free agents like Uzama, the tight end, and the safety Jesse Bates, and two of the defensive tackles, not Reeder, but the other Larry Ogunjobi and
We got
DJ
a lot of guys
Hill.
coming off the payroll because of our bad general manager always paying people too much money.
Well, you're
going to
lose
there.
Allen Robinson, right?
Oh yeah, I'll bet so. Yep. Yeah, you don't hear the things he says in the media up here. So, but yeah.
Well, they got like I say, man, because there's a salary cap in the NFL, and they all got to be like whatever it is, 3% below it. That's as least as they can spend. They all have to spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
It can turn in a year because the Bengals won six games in 2 years before this.
Right.
And they won out.
Bruce Collinsworth said that about 50 times during the Super Bowl.
They didn't really profile how well they hit the free agency market all three of their cornerbacks, counting the slot guy, one was a waste pile pickup, Eli Apple, and he had a pretty solid year, but the guys Mike Hilton and Chidobe Awuzie, that guy's a stud, man. They did really well on the defensive side.
Defenses were pretty good. Sure. I mean,
but you're right. The offensive line. So I think the Bengals. I watch this guy in the Senior Bowl. He's a big Austrian. His name's Bernard Raymond. He played for Central Michigan.
He's huge.
He's monstrous.
Saw him.
He had to leave school to go serve 2 years in the Austrian army and then came back. So he's older.
Oh, wow.
But he didn't start playing football until later.
Isn't he like 6'8 and a guard or some shit?
Well, he's a left tackle. I watched the practices too. And I made sure that this dude's a legit left tackle because the Bengals got Jonah Williams at 73. He's not great, but he was a first round pick. So, I think they'll probably pick the option on him, not this year, but the year after. But they need to, they had Riley Reiff, you remember him from the Vikings right tackle. He missed maybe four games at the end of the year. He got his ankle was shot, and I don't think they'll fool with him because he's probably older than you, Shrews.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's getting up there.
Well, he's played a long time. You know who I'm talking about, Riley Reiff.
Oh, I know. I remember looking through the Vikings across the guys. Good Lord.
But it's only a year away. They load up those weapons for Fields, man.
I'm hoping we get a little bit better turnover with the new GM and stuff. Because you got to have some hope. Because get tired of this crap. So let's hope for the future. I mean,
that's like even with the Bengals. I mean, they had 5 years in a row where they made the playoffs with Dalton. The stuff can turn, real quick. But
here's hoping because it was getting to be terrible this year. We were just like, the level of violence in the living room was getting to be a bit much.
Yeah, the monsters of Midway shouldn't be in the living room. It should be on Soldier Field
for
sure.
Yeah, we were pretty distraught. We were joking about having his girlfriend come over for a game, and I thought, I don't know if she can make it through a game with us. So.
I'm a Bengals fan. You don't know what distraught means.
Well, I think you got me beat there for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
But like, hey, what's your buddy's name? Zim? Shan?
Yeah, Shan. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, he's a 49ers fan.
Yeah.
And he had that shirt on. I remember when you had that book signing at that Kroger's liquor store.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm like, what the hell are you doing wearing a 49ers? Like, oh, I'm a 49, and that to me, that's like, you know, telling me you'd like to poke my eyes out and, you know, urinate my skull.
I used to be
a
49er fan. I sort of quit watching the NFL because I got a little irritated at some things. But I used to be a 49er fan. My dad and I watched all the time together.
Well, I was hoping hard that the Bengals would get the 49ers instead of the Rams because
rematch.
That would be the third time in the Super Bowl.
Big rematch.
Yeah, that would
and Bill Walsh, the ghost of Bill Walsh, it would have exercised all that because, you know, he started the West Coast offense in Cincinnati in the early 70s. They didn't give him the head coaching job. They gave it to Bill Tiger Johnson when Paul Brown decided to step down. They could have had Bill Walsh there, man.
That was a blunder.
Oh, that was a bungle is what that was.
Oh, it's too good. Too good. Oh, Rob. Yeah, we're going to have to go to a game with Shrews now. Now I've got a quest. We're going to Soldier Field with Shrews and watch him in person react to the game.
Oh,
this
God.
That could be cool.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be
– that'd be about the only thing that'd get me to watch it back in an NFL stadium again would be Shrews.
Talk about true barbarianism. Activity there, probably.
Well, hey, hope, Shrews. There's hope for you, brother. Hang in there, man.
I hope so.
I'm glad you got to get your boy down there, and he's going to have you going around to schools and stuff, which is cool.
Oh, believe me, that's what's coming up. I know it is. So he's a good boy.
6'2", 220. Has he been timed yet?
I forget what 40? He is in the four. I forget what he is. He's not. He jokes, and this. Please don't think this is racist. He goes, Dad, I'm a big white guy. I'm only so fast. So, but he's. He's getting better because he's a triathlete. He's in wrestling and in track.
Yeah.
So his wrestling was stopped,
yeah.
So now he's in track as
well. Nice.
So he's trying to get quicker. He's got his long-ass COVID hair still. So he looks like a fucking 70s rock star.
Hell yeah.
I post pictures of him, and he's standing there with the wrestling thing with the trophy, and he's got this fucking long-ass hair. And I'm like, he went and got it cut the other day, and you never even know he got it cut.
No,
and
that's awesome.
He's adorable. He's quite the boy. So,
well, don't butter him up too much, Shrews, man. Don't you know? Sometimes you got
to
hold out that raw steak and say, "Look, boy, you know, you want this steak, man. Here's what you're going to have to do in it. You're going to have 32 tackles in this game tonight, buddy."
Believe me, we had no trouble being rough to that kid. He's fired that sometimes. I don't want to sugarcoat it that he's that nice of a guy. He's got his moments. He's no trouble. I don't worry about stuff too much.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait
he's
to meet him.
Boy.
Yeah, you got to bring him.
Oh, he's a great
guy. You got to bring him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah,
initiate him
into Imaginarium. We'd have a ball.
But believe me.
The Hoff can meet him,
you
too.
You see him with
yeah.
me, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here. That's your kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's just going to be all the bigger this summer,
your dad wants you to drink this whole bottle.
Shit. That'll be a problem.
Talk about young.
Yeah, I ain't gonna get into how my beers disappear in the summer sometimes. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Quite the boy. But anyway.
Oh, that's too good.
So,
Hoff, you too much.
All right. Hey, you all have a good one. Hang in there, Shrews.
You too, Rob. Great to hear from you, man.
Thank you for calling in, Rob.
Hey, take care, Rob.
Right,
thanks for
pleasure.
Calling in.
Hey, Zim, I'm going to get you on Gitter right now, okay?
All right. We'll see you, man.
All right. Hey, see you, Daniel.
All right.
Be careful.
Okay. All right.
Hoff. What a character. Only shrews could bring Hoff out of the woodwork again. He's been a hermit for the last couple of months,
yeah,
and we haven't seen much of him.
He's been a hermit.
But, yeah, shrews brought him out.
I always had a good time talking, man. We always had a good time talking.
Oh, God, he knows
his sports. As you can tell, it can turn into the Hoff Shrews football hour in about two seconds, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get Hoff on sports, man. He'll go for hours and hours and hours. Yeah.
Well,
well,
he
know,
worked
like I said,
for
I know
Sports
the...
Illustrated. He wrote, wasn't it
well, no,
Sports
ESPN.
Illustrated?
He did work for ESPN.
ESPN, yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
ESPN.
He worked for ESPN.
Yeah. He did
that's
a lot
right.
of data work
so
and stuff for ESPN. So, yeah, Hoff's
cool.
got the credentials. Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah,
he's
well,
like an
like
encyclopedia.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we were talking football and all kinds of shit there last summer, so.
That's why I don't hesitate to bring up Bob Avellini. I knew he'd know who that was.
Wow, when that name come up, I was like, holy crap, I didn't know if anybody knew who
yeah.
that was or Bobby or Douglas.
Good classic 70s Bears quarterback.
Oh, my. I was like, oh, wow, I don't know if anybody knew who that was but me.
Going way back.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and he was Jim McMahon's backup on the Super Bowl team. So, yeah, he was right there. Yeah, that was
quite
awesome.
The guys. Quite the guy.
Oh, wow. Oh, sea shrews, I know a little bit. I got a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's
I'll surprise you once
kids,
in a while.
Hear your kids about that stuff. You're like, wow.
Oh, it's great.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Well, we've had all kinds of talks tonight.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We have.
Well, that's cool.
We've probably covered the gamut. Yeah, we've covered everything
always
that you could possibly imagine. But,
we went from what happened before the creation of the universe to the Bengals offensive line. So.
Yeah, the apocalypse. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Shrews, before we sign off tonight, though, I do want to give you a chance to at least tell people where to find you. Yeah, all that good old kind of formal, you know, connection link
well,
stuff.
On Facebook, I am Stephen L. Shrewsbury, no one else, because there only can be one. Thank God. That's where I'm on Facebook. And on Twitter, I am Shrews, R-E-H. I don't know why I would pick that. So
no,
find me.
No
I'm
idea.
Running around with the, I'm running around there and doing other things. So, and like I said, I want to be whoring myself out good for the book. And it's a great book. And it's a good adventure story. And I think it's entertaining. It's something that you can get into and read. And not everybody just has to be in the sword and I hate to say sword and sorcery. It's just a fantasy story. Hell, it's a horror story down the core of it. You know, that's just what, that's
yeah, it's got elements of yeah, that too.
Oh yeah,
I mean, genre.
Yeah, I don't sit. I just wrote an essay on that called "Sword and Sorcery: What's in a Name," and like if you ever want to have a blog thing for it, so I got
yep,
a couple
coming
blogs.
Soon to a blog
just,
tour
just,
near
just,
you.
Just,
yeah, that's just about
stuff,
to happen.
I believe
yep.
the other one was, you know, it's my universe. You know, I didn't want to say fuck off as the title, but it's like my universe. I'll do what I want. And then there's
there
enough. Just said,
exactly.
You know,
amen.
Because you know, you just, everybody cross matches things they believe in and what, or, you know, different genres and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
As I said, I don't have
absolutely.
An agenda when I sit down and write. I don't sit down and try to make anybody angry or anything. I'm just telling a good story. I want to tell you a story.
Right.
I want you to say something. I mean, people listen to me talk, and what was I telling a story about the other day? And I was telling somebody, and they go, "Well, I can tell you're a writer the way you talk." And I'm like, "Yeah, geez, thanks." But like I said, I can. You got to be able to tell a story. I mean, like some people can't tell a joke for the damn. I always tell good stuff.
Right.
I always. I mean, it's just how I think I'm a better storyteller than I'm a writer. I mean, there's a difference. I think it's a big difference. Somebody said Robert Jordan is a great writer, but not a storyteller. I don't know, judge him that way.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody said that's the distinction. I'm like, I don't know. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story, and I'll try to keep you interested, and I'll tell you you might learn something about history you didn't know, and you might be deceived into thinking something's history. You just, that I'm pulling your leg a little bit, but you're not going to be bored, and it's not going to be something where nothing happens. Not just action, but like, said earlier, advancing the story, developing the character.
Right.
And it's, like I said, it's wild and woolly and violent, and it's a lot of fun, too. There's some dark humor
fun.
In there. I always temper.
Oh, God, yes. Your humor is the best.
Really. It's very,
yeah,
it's very inadvertent when I do it, because I can have something really terrible happen, then right on top of it, something darkly funny is going to happen. I mean, that's just the way I mean, you should work an 8-hour shift with me and listen to me shoot the shit with people sometimes. It's never a dull moment. I mean, we're laughing.
I would love to be a fly on the wall. I can imagine.
I would love to observe. It's be hilarious.
It's really something to see the way and then they'll bring down the egg-headed engineers who want to be smarter than you and don't know your job, and they send them to deal with me, and the boss is just dreading it sometimes.
Oh, but, God, I would love to see that. I would love
I know
to see
my,
that. Because I know the
I
type.
Know, I, know.
I know the type because I grew up around academia with my dad, you know, and stuff, and so I know them well.
Well,
yes.
I know my where I'm at, in the section I'm at, I know the shit better than anybody else, or reasonably, and they're not gonna tell me something I don't know, and it's like, and they're just trying to wrap their, they're just, it's an interesting confrontation sometimes, but. I like what I do, so.
That's the main thing.
They all say, "Oh, you should be the guy, the lead person on the shift." He goes, "Go to the meetings with the bosses." I go, "That just wouldn't work out." I said, "I would be done." They would not want to hear
what I have to say.
Bingo! That's what I say. I go, "They don't want to hear this."
Yes.
I mean, that's. I'll tell them. I'll tell them exactly how shit goes. They don't want to hear that.
I've ran bosses into their office before, and they've shut the door. Not because they're tired of hearing me, out of fear. That's why they shut their door. Out of fear, because I've had a few. I was going to wring their necks. Yeah, yeah. when you and as a nurse, see, I had that privilege because, hey, I did my job. I knew what the hell I was doing. You can't fire me because you can't replace me. So try me, you know. And, yeah, so it got really interesting at times. Somebody
hurt their wrist using a drill, and it was so stupid how they did it. And I just was saying, he kept pulling the trigger after the thing was in, and it twisted his wrist, and the whole thing moved. And they come down, and all the bosses were down there trying to figure out how we can prevent this, if we can have a lower torque. And I go, it's an intelligence issue. It isn't a safety issue. I go, and the guy got kind of lippy with me, and I said, "Do you ever use a drill?" I said, "You just keep fucking drilling it after you goddamn get the drill in?" "No." I go,
"It doesn't work that way."
And boy, that guy didn't want to listen to what I was saying. He goes, "Later." And you... 5 minutes later, and you think it's an intelligence issue. I got my arms folded across my chest. I go, "Because it is." And my boss is behind, like, turning circles, like, "Oh, shit, oh, shit." I'm like, "Well, God damn it." Get out of your head.
It's truth, you know?
It's truth.
That's
well,
it.
Like I said,
and you
gotta enjoy
speak
what
the truth.
I like what I do, and I'm good at it. So it is what it is. So.
That's it.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining us, guys. This is
a great show,
my God. Great show.
We'll
wrap it up, but next time,
we
can't wait to have you back.
Well,
so, Holly, you can wrap her up with shrews, and we'll let Daniel have the final word to close it out.
All righty.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and you got to come back, sooner than later. And yeah, let's definitely get you a book signing and some fishing set up here.
Sounds like a hell of a time. No problem.
That sounds
awesome. Thanks
for
having me. I appreciate you letting me come on here and jaw for a while. It's way past my bedtime.
Thank you.
But
you got
I
it.
Know.
Take
so
care,
you get
Truth.
To bed. And congrats on the new book, Killer of Giants.
Yeah,
everybody, it's on sale at all. You know,
great
your,
book.
Your booksellers.
Yep.
And
okay.
Check it out.
Thank
Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
well,
Kobo.
Thanks for doing
it. All that good stuff.
You got it, Shrews.
Thank
good
you,
night,
Shrews.
Man.
All right. Thank you, fellas. And ma'am. Wow.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Take it easy, guys.
I answer to both. It's okay.
All right.
Well, tune in next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another great chat with a wonderful creative. Learn some stuff, be amused, entertained, and we will talk to you then. Good night, all. Hand it over to Daniel.
And if nothing else, you were able to listen to Stephen Shrewsbury, the one and only, tonight. And find out,
why God put him on earth to make everything interesting. You know, he is a character all in itself, and, you know, we learned some stuff tonight and found out different things about Shrewsbury that we did not know. And you were able to listen in on it. And until we get together next week, be creative and enjoy your life. This is Daniel Dark signing out.